Last Sunday, we lit the candle of joy. We light it and the candles of hope and peace again, as we remember that Christ will come again and bring us everlasting peace and joy.
The fourth candle of Advent is the candle of love. Its light is meant to remind us of the love that God has for us.
Jesus shows us God's perfect love. He is God's love in human form. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Love is patient. Love is kind and envies no one. Love is never boastful or conceited, rude or selfish. Love is not quick to take offense. It keeps no records of wrongs, and it does not gloat over other people's troubles, but rejoices in the right, the good, and the true. There is nothing that love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, to its hope, to its endurance. Love never ends.
We light this candle today to remind us of how God's perfect love is found in Jesus. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your gift of love, shown to us perfectly in Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us prepare our hearts to receive him. Bless our worship. Help us to hear and do your word. We ask it in the name of the one born in Bethlehem. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Well, Merry Christmas. Actually, it's still Advent officially, but that's okay. We'll cheat a little bit and look forward. All right. We've been talking through this Advent season about Advent in action. In other words, we didn't want to just kind of talk about hope or talk about peace or talk about joy or today talk about love. We wanted to talk about what does that actually mean? How does that impact our lives? And how do we, maybe more importantly, even share that with others? And so we started off with hope in action. That was the first Sunday of Advent. And what we're doing to put hope into action is we're providing hope through our giving to kids at George Middle School and to these young girls in Africa, in Kenya specifically. Then we did, was the second one, peace in action. And Anya gave us that message, and we are going to focus on Christmas Eve. The kind of the theme is going to be peace. And just inviting people to come and in the midst of all the hullabaloo of life to take a minute of the season to also, but just take a minute and just be calm and seek the peace of God in that moment. Then we did, last week I talked about joy, and then joy in action is what we actually did last night. And we went out. I want to tell you, how many were there? I think there was 14 of us.
17.
There's 17 people. So this is funny. It's pouring down rain. Yeah. All right? And I said to Sarah, I said, honey, if it's just us and the boys, we're not going. And she said, okay, you know. So, oh, ye of little faith, right? So I show up here, and 17 people show up to go sing Christmas carols with our friends who live outside out there along the railroad cut. I was astounded. I was so blessed by this. And so they went out there, and I mean, it is pouring down rain. We're walking through puddles that are this deep, and they're singing their hearts out, and then we're going, and then there was a couple of us. Devin was quite a help with this, and just taking hot chocolate, because they didn't want to come out of their tents, right? So we just knew they were hearing us, and I had some comments shared, a lot of people wanted hot chocolate, and it was just a great time. In fact, I have to take just a moment to share a little testimony. I went into one of the tents, where I went up to the tent, and I said, hey, anybody in there want some hot chocolate? Oh, yeah, you got two of them? Yeah, sure. So I come in there. And I realized it was a guy that I've spoken to on many occasions, and he's 80 years old, and he's living out there on the cut. And he and I have had some incredible conversations. In fact, I got to kind of keep this short, but he shared with me, he had just about a year or so ago broke his hip. And he was in rehab, and when he was in rehab, there was this bird, this blue jay, that would come, he'd go out, he'd kind of hobble outside, and this blue jay, he told me, he says, all my life, I've never believed in God at all, not at all. But there was something about this bird that I felt like God was trying to give me a message. And he said, I don't know what the message was, but I named the bird Josiah. And I said, wow, do you know that Josiah means the Lord heals? And he goes, you've got to be kidding me. And I said, no, I said, it means the Lord heals. And he says, well, you know what's amazing? And I don't know why I gave so much credence to this bird, but they said I was going to be in rehab for 2 years, and I was there for 18 days. Whoa. And then I got out, and he kept kind of saying, I don't want to say I'm really believing I'm God or anything like that, you know, blah 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 blah. So I said, hey, can I just pray for you? So I prayed with him, and it was just a powerful time. Go to last night. He's inside the tent, and the other guy that's there with him, I've spoken to him. He comes and sits specifically on our bench out here in front because he wants to be near a church, and he writes. He just journals, writes maybe poetry and stuff. But anyway, he said to me, he goes, and you know what? I want to let you know something. We were talking. He says, I'm one of you now. Woo! Yeah. Yeah, and you could just see. You could see in his demeanor and everything, there was just something totally different about this guy. And so he said, so can I come to the church and share my story? And I said, you show up on a Sunday morning and you'll get to share your story. So hopefully someday he'll be here. But this is what we mean by this is faith or Advent in action. This is not just talking about stuff, or it's not about how smart we are, or how much knowledge we have. It's about taking what we know and doing something with it. So today we're talking about love in action. And although it seems a little backwards, we had love in action was another week prior when we went out, which we do every month, and served the homeless with some food and clothes and things, which you heard the testimony there. So anyway, Advent in action. And we're going to talk about love and love in action, both God's love in action and then how that impacts us and then our love in action as well. So as we count down these final days now until Christmas, I every year I struggle with this and I ask myself the question once again, have I truly taken the time to ponder anew and afresh the reality of what we're celebrating? And because I know if you're like me, I've done this before. You know, I've gone through Advent, and I know the Christmas story, and I know all this stuff. But sometimes I try to challenge myself to embrace it anew, to try to see it with fresh eyes, to ask God to soften my heart once again to the reality of what we are actually celebrating, the incarnation of God. This is amazing that we as Christians believe that God came from heaven to earth. And that he lived among us, that he understands us intimately. He understood us already, but then even coming, living as flesh and blood amongst us, showing us the way. Wow, God with us. That is amazing. And God is still with us, amen? And he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and here we are. But all of this reminded me of a story I read one time. It's told by Dennis Wheeler, so it's not my story. Excuse me, he tells the story this way. He says, my son Nicholas, a great name for a Christmas story, right? Yeah, did he make this up? Anyway. No, my son Nicholas was in kindergarten and appearing in his school's winter pageant. I went the morning of the dress rehearsal for a preview. Each class, accompanied by their teacher, they sat down cross-legged on the floor. Then each group, one by one, rose to perform their song. Because the public school system, as we all know, had long stopped referring to the holiday as Christmas, I didn't expect anything other than fun commercial entertainment, you know, songs of reindeer and Santa Claus, snowflakes, and good cheer. So when my son's class rose to sing Christmas Love, I was slightly taken aback by its bold title. Though Nicholas was aglow, as were all of his classmates, adorned in fuzzy mittens and red sweaters and bright snow caps upon their heads, those in the front row, center stage, held up large letters one by one to spell out the title of the song. So as the class would sing, C is for Christmas, a child would hold up the letter C, then H is for happy, and on until each child, holding up his portion, had presented the complete message, Christmas Love, right? The performance was going smoothly until suddenly we noticed her, a small, quiet girl in the front row who was holding the letter M upside down. Truly unaware, her letter M appeared as W. The audience of first through sixth graders snickered at this little one's mistake, but she had no idea they were laughing at her, and she stood tall, proudly holding up her W. Although many teachers tried to shush the children, the laughter continued until the last letter was raised, and we saw it all together. A hush came over the audience, and eyes began to widen. In that instance, we understood the reason we were there, why we celebrated the holiday in the first place, why even in the chaos there was a purpose for our festivities. For when the last letter was held high, the message was read loud and could be seen loud and clear. Christ was love. Amen? And I believe that message still rings true to this day. Christ was and is love. Amen. And that's what this fourth Sunday of Advent is all about. So we're going to take a few moments. I'm going to walk through 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 7 through 21. And it's just going to be kind of a couple lines at a time. It's not kind of my normal way of going about preaching, but I'm going to do that with this message today. So 1 John chapter 4. This is, kind of known as the love chapter, I think, to many, but it starts off like this. It starts with an appeal, really. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Do you hear the appeal here? Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. And we are able to love one another because we are loved by God. There's something that is given to believers when they're born of God. If when you are truly born of God, you are transformed. There is something that happens beyond just a knowledge or whatever. We are filled with the Spirit of God. And as Christians, we're not just forgiven, we're born anew by that Holy Spirit. Before I came to Jesus, I thought I fell in love with, especially with, girls and stuff, and I thought I was madly in love with them. But I did not. That was not love. You know what I loved or what I liked about maybe that particular person or whoever it was? They made me feel good. It wasn't love. It was just selfish is what it was. And it shocked me when I before I came to Christ, as many of you know, I was kind of just in a drug-induced coma for years. Even though I came to Christ early, but for a number of years, my life was devoted to the pursuit of drugs. And I had kind of lived in this cloud I didn't realize this till I came till Jesus woke me up, that I did not even see other people really. I did not really, they were just a means to an end, if anything. And I was had so turned in upon myself, it was sad. And I just didn't even know. I knew something was wrong with me, but I didn't know what. And the night that I gave my life to Jesus, and it was so overwhelming. I was overwhelmed by the love of God, that forgave me of my so many sins. And it so transformed my heart and life that literally in that moment, and I had all these friends that came with me, these buddies that went to this special meeting. Right? You've probably heard this before, but they were there. And I was the only one that went forward. And I went back to them and I was like, man, I just love you guys. I just love you so much. And they are freaking out. In fact, they freaked out so badly that they left me there. Yeah. I had to walk home like 3 miles that night. But, I didn't care. I was walking home on cloud nine. I was so full of the love of God and what God had done for me. It was amazing. I still love imperfectly. You all know this. You've been around me long enough to know that my love doesn't always come shining through. In fact, really, I shouldn't even say my love, that God's love doesn't come shining through my life all the time. But I can still testify that I had no ability to love. Not really. And God has helped me to do that. So, beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. God is love. It's a glorious truth. One that we could all, if we could just wrap ourselves or be just allow ourselves to sink more deeply into the love of God, it would transform our lives. Then John goes on, he talks more about kind of the meaning of love and how love is put into action. He says in verses 9 through 11, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his son, his only son, into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but God loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. This is amazing. It's amazing to me how at times we so question the love of God. What more could God do than what we're celebrating right now? Amen. That God loves you so much. God loved me so much. He didn't want to leave me in that drug-induced coma. He didn't want to leave me in that place where I was so turned in upon myself, I couldn't even hardly see other people. And by God's great love, he came. As he came so many years ago into that manger, Jesus still comes into the manger of your heart and mine today. He still seeks to be cradled. You know that. You're the manger today. Your heart is that place where Jesus wants to place himself and dwell in you. Wow. God sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. Then it goes on, it says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected, which means mature or complete in us. Think about this. We don't physically see God, do we? No, even Moses got the glimpse of the backside, right? I mean, how are people going to see God? How are they going to see God? Through our actions, through our love. It says, the evidence of God is displayed through those who love one another. And the thing that concerns me about the church, I'm not saying this just specifically to you guys, but just generally speaking, is we got people that are all kinds of religious. All kinds, gifted people, talented people, charismatic people. But is there love? God says Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, without love, we're just a clanging gong or a noisy cymbal. You can be gifted. You can be a powerful preacher. You can talk to a bunch of people about Jesus. You can put on your best suit and tie and show up and be the most Christian-looking person ever on the planet. But do you have love? And that love is what the world is dying for. Amen. The world is dying for that love. And when you go out and express it, it's amazing. Some people will reject it. Some people will hate the fact that that love does not work for them because they're still so caught up in themselves. But then you go to other places. I was amazed last night, again, going out into that camp, how many people were so grateful for just a hot cup of cocoa and how they expressed their gratitude profoundly to us just for going there and singing a few Christmas carols and sharing some hot chocolate. God is seen. The evidence of God becomes real when people see love. Continuing on, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So this sense of continuing on is that if those who really have a love for God are going to confess God, confess Jesus as the Son of God to others and to the rest of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Then John goes on and he encourages us to abide in this love. And I think this is something that I know I struggle with. Like, I know God loves me, and there's moments, especially in worship, where I'm just so aware of the love of God, but just learning to abide in that love, to live in it continually. And he says here, so we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. My friends, this is the proper response to everything that we're celebrating here and to what Christ did for us on the cross. It's to abide in God's love. It's to be immersed in that love, to allow the love of God to fill us to such a degree that it pours out from us into the lives of others. And I'm just going to say again, first, it's got to happen in us. I mean, we have to somehow ask God for a deeper revelation, a greater revelation of his incredible love for us. Listen, I know I'm not discounting justice or judgment or any of the other things, but what I will tell you is the scriptures are clear that God is love. And this is, I'm reading from the scriptures here, that when we abide in the love of God, that others will be touched by that. And again, our world desperately needs a good dose of love. Yeah, there is a whole lot of hatred. There is smack going on in the church, even. People looking down, you wear a mask, you don't wear a mask, you got vaccinated, you didn't get vaccinated, you're going to die because you got vaccinated, you're not, blah, 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 blah. You know, and again, people have their convictions and their opinions, but let me ask you something. Do you have love? Amen. Do you have love? I mean, vaccinated or unvaccinated, mask or no mask, do you have love? Do you have love in your heart for your brother and for your sister, and not just those in the church, but for those who aren't in the church? And there's all kinds of stuff that we can argue about and get uptight about. It's amazing to me how we get so distracted. The enemy comes in and does plant some little seed. Now, that's a, you know, I can't believe they put a Christmas tree up in front of their sanctuary. Forget about the Christmas tree. Let's love one another. And there's room too. Let me be clear. It's hard when you're just preaching a little message here, but there's a place to also challenge one another, to have, you know, maybe sometimes difficult conversations, but even those should be done with love. Amen. With a desire for reconciliation, or for maybe to see people to see a better way or whatever. Love, then, John goes on to say, because I better keep moving, love is then perfected in us. And this is, I always say this, I love the scriptures, they're so powerful. But listen to what he says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. Listen, if you are here today and you have put your trust in the atoning work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, in the fact that he was resurrected, raised from the dead, and has given you a new life, you have nothing to fear. Amen. I mean, you've either been forgiven or not, right? There's no perfect love. There's no fear in that. When you know God's love for you, now it's not for everybody. You have to put your faith and your trust fully in what Christ has done for you. All right? But when you've done that, why do we keep walking around with so much shame and condemnation and guilt and this feeling that God's always mad at us? I'm just telling you, that is not a biblical perspective on the nature and character of God. Now, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, and you haven't confessed him as Lord and Savior of your life, well, then I'm just going to be quite honest. I can understand you walking around with shame and condemnation and guilt and maybe fearful of God's, that God's mad at you. But not for the believer. Not for those who put their trust in Christ. The love of God just wipes all that stuff away. He's taken your sin and thrown it as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. And if you make a mistake, or if you commit a sin, you have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus. And you can go to him and you can confess your sin. And what does the scripture say again? He is faithful and just and will forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. This is good news, you guys. I know many of you have heard it before, but it is good news. We no longer fear judgment. We boldly come before God and we don't need to be afraid. And then the apostle goes back and kind of lays the foundation one more time for all of this. We love because God first loved us. So how do we take this and put it into action? Love in action. That's what we're talking about. I mean, I'm appealing to you along with our dear brother John here, appealing to you to love one another. All right, that's the appeal. But how do we do this? Well, he goes on to say this. He says, those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. Wow, that's right. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters. Man, I always think John was such a kind of a, you know, this flowery kind of love gospel. He's got some tough stuff he says here. Love in action can be deeply challenging. When you've been offended by someone, especially by a brother or a sister, then now let's talk about love. See what I'm saying? It's easy to love those who love you, right? It's not so easy when someone is challenging or irritating or whatever. All right, so Jesus who commands, and I'm wrapping it up here, but Jesus who commands us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves made it very clear what it means to truly love another person. And Jesus also makes it very clear. He goes kind of beyond John in a sense because he's not saying just love your brother or sister. Jesus says to love all, to love everyone. That even gets more challenging. When your enemies, when people that you absolutely and completely disagree with, that you feel is almost like antichrist in their viewpoints and opinions, it gets more challenging. But this is what Christ has called us to. If we're going to do more than just sit here on a Sunday morning and go, oh, that was a good service or a not so good service or whatever, if we go beyond that to actually applying what Jesus is saying, this is the challenge for us. So this is what Jesus said. He told a parable. Well, it's a parable. But anyway, the king will say to you, right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. So I'm going to stop right there. I was sharing with someone that how my heart had been so tugged by going to the cut and feeding those who live there outside. And I've said this to you before, that situation, the situation with homelessness in Portland and in other major cities, is a huge problem that needs a better answer, okay? It needs better solutions, okay? But what I read is that when I was hungry, you fed me. I don't read any conditions. And I know that many of those people, this is not very popular to say, many of those people that are out there are there because of bad choices they've made, not just because they just had a slip up or kind of on bad times. But I just read the passage. When I was hungry, you fed me. And when we go out there, so I was talking to someone, and it was no one in this congregation, but I was talking to someone and they said, well, you're just enabling them. Actually, they didn't say it that way. And I said, well, number one, they're going to be there anyway. Nothing I do or don't do is going to, you know. And then you have the OGs of the world who knows what's going to go on with him, right? All I know is that Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. And when they asked, when did we see you hungry and feed you? He said, when you do it to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. Amen. So for me, When we go out there and Tony does an amazing job, we cook a nice meal. You know, he cooks a nice meal. I mean, it's a nice meal. These are not leftover burritos from 7-Eleven that we picked up 2 weeks after their due date. This is like last time we served roast with, I would never stick around because I'm always out walking around talking to people. It was roast, rice pilaf, vegetables with gravy. And this is, sorry, I know I get into my stories, but I just got, when I take that food and when that plate is being given to the person, Jesus says, I just gave it to him. So I don't want to serve them some old burrito from 7-Eleven because as far as I'm concerned, I'm serving it to the king of the universe, at least metaphorically speaking, in some way. And he goes on to say, so I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. Whew. I'm going to skip that part. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. No, I'm not really going to skip it. But, I mean, these are challenging things. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. So with each of those jackets, boots, yeah, I don't know. For me, it's just an overwhelming sense of just doing it to Jesus. And I know it helps them in some way, shape, or form, but I'm going to be actually honest with you. My primary concern is to bless Jesus. It's to bring joy to the heart of God. It's to serve God in that way and then let God do what he's going to do in the lives of the people that we're serving. So you and I have opportunities in life to do this. Again, love and action. The Apostle Paul says, what is important is faith expressing itself through love. This is what's important. Not faith that just looks good on a Sunday morning. Not faith that can just sing a song or even preach a sermon, but faith that expresses itself through love. As we celebrate the coming of God to us during this Advent and Christmas season, I'm asking you to consider how you can put the love of God into action in your own context. We're getting ready to celebrate communion. And again, you know, we have just these little cups with the little thin wafers and the juice. But there's two things I'm going to ask you to do. One, I'm going to ask you to do before you come up, and then I want you to consider this very strongly as you're taking it today. There's no greater expression of love than what we are remembering, considering, and participating in today in communion. Love is sacrificial. And Jesus has shown sacrificial love to you and to me. God has shown his love to you through coming to this earth, through his death on the cross. But before you take communion, we're going to just be quiet. We're going to quietly play. And I'm going to ask you to just sit for a few moments. In fact, I'll ask you to come take communion after we're just quiet, listening to the music. And I'm asking you to write, there's probably scribble paper or something in front of you. There should be a pen around you. And I'm asking you to ask God, what is one action of love that I can take this week? Now, it may be just doing something special for your spouse. That could be an action of love. Maybe it's doing something for a child, a coworker. But I would invite you to even consider an act of love to someone that you're not very happy with right now. Maybe someone who's really challenging you in some way, or even someone that you're, quite frankly, upset with. And just ask God to help you. And how can I express love to that person? Maybe you'd commit yourself to saying, hey, when this is the small group of us, but when they go out and serve those along the cut, I'm going to join them. I'm going to go out at least once with them. But don't, I mean, you're free to do whatever, but I'm asking you not to leave the building without first writing something down that's tangible and specific, and you could maybe even do it in this next week if possible. Is that pretty clear? It's clear as mud. All right. Lord Jesus, I ask, God, it's one of my kind of driving things. I'll admit it. I want to, and I believe you've called us to put our faith into action. And today we're contemplating the amazing reality of your incredible love. And that then the fruit of that is that we are filled with your love. And we're to share that love with others. Help us to recognize your love afresh and anew, both as we take communion in a few moments and as we celebrate the real, you know, as we say kind of flippantly, but the true reason for this season, you coming to earth. Yeah, fill our hearts with love and help us to love others. So just take a moment and just ask God, and hopefully you'll write something down, take it home with you. You've done that, and you feel ready. You feel like you've also taken some time to contemplate God's great love for you as expressed through what we're celebrating here in communion. You can feel free. Again, if you're a guest with us, you know, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you're free to come and partake as well. But you can come get the cup, and you can take it back to your seat and take communion, or you can kneel here at the altar. And I do just want to say, I meant to say it earlier, if you heard this message and you have never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, if you don't, you know, you hear me talking about God's love and about love, and you're like, man, I just don't know. I don't know that love. Then I invite you to talk with me after the service, or you can come up front here and wait, and then I'll talk with you. But don't let another day go by without giving your life fully to the Lord Jesus, the one whom we're celebrating this Christmas, the one who can fill your heart with love and wash away all guilt and shame and hatred and all kinds of stuff.